Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Your Mind Matters podcast, a show where I chat all things mental health, everyday wellness, fitness, and share my journey to help you along in yours. I'm your host, Natalie Bolle, and I am so freaking pumped to be sitting down with you guys today. If you can't already tell by my voice, we are having a night and day situation from last week's episode. I was just kind of down in the dumps, feeling a little bit lost and confused and disconnected with myself, and I honestly really enjoyed recording that episode. It made me feel so much better, but today I am showing up already in a good mood, ready to chat with you about what I've kind of been experiencing this week, my thoughts on it, and hopefully guide you in the right direction towards feeling a little bit better yourself. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, I was just talking kind of about how I was having a difficult time getting back on track after a really short little trip that I took over the weekend. I was having a hard time staying on top of my tasks, feeling motivated during the day, having negative self-talk. It was just kind of, for lack of a better word, a shit show for me. And this week I have been a little bit more on top of things, feeling more clear in my mind, feeling more connected to my mind and my body. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. Basically, just the ways in which I find myself disconnecting and how I reconnect and how I think it kind of just applies to everyone as a society. I don't think that this is something that I'm experiencing. Like, it's not an isolated experience that I'm having. I think it's a general issue that a lot of people our age deal with. And I kind of want to just talk to you about what I've been thinking about this week, what I'm kind of learning and implementing, and how I want to keep this message and this lesson in the forefront of my mind so I can continue to move forward in this way and feel better and more connected to myself. But before we get there, I kind of want to talk a little bit about what ways I find myself disconnecting, the things I kind of turn to when I'm having those negative emotions that I don't really want to deal with, how I move myself even farther away from them. And this isn't to encourage you to do the same things, but rather to have you reflect on what habits you may partake in when you're feeling these negative emotions that you don't want to deal with. And also just kind of bring the awareness of like, hey, these are things I do. They might be things that you do. And it's something to take note of. The first step in making any sort of change in your life is becoming aware of an issue or a problem that you're having. So I kind of want to share my insights, hopefully spark some curious thoughts of your own, and you can kind of use this episode to reflect on ways that you've been disconnecting. I think it's just a symptom of this time of year. A couple episodes ago, we talked about seasonal affective disorder, seasonal depression, whatever you choose to call it, something that I was diagnosed with in college and kind of how I moved through it. But a big symptom that I find myself experiencing this time of year is just feeling really disconnected from myself and continuing with habits that make me feel even more disconnected when I'm already not feeling my best. So yeah, this last week I've just become aware of a lot of these things. I've been journaling a lot about it, and I'm really proud of myself for, I haven't done it every day, but making more of a habit of it. I think I've journaled like 5 or 6 times this week. I always do my prompts in the morning, but I have a harder time like making it a habit before bed where I reflect and kind of do a brain dump about my day and what I'm going through. Sometimes I just don't feel like talking about it because it's something I want to push out of my mind, aka disconnect from myself and my feelings and avoid them, because sometimes that feels easier. But in the long run, when you choose to disconnect and continue those patterns and choose habits and actions that only make you feel worse or more disconnected, you're just avoiding the problem, and it's just going to keep showing up for you until you face it, deal with it, sit with those feelings, and learn what they are trying to tell you or teach you. So my number one habit or go-to activity when I'm feeling those negative emotions and want to run and hide from them is pull out my phone and stare at the screen until my eyeballs feel like they are going to burn out of my head. And I know that I am not alone with this, because I think this is a true problem that our generation has. And it is just that we turn to our phone screens at any sign of discomfort. And I'm really glad that I grew up like right before, I feel like I was one of the last generations, or not generations, but last age groups to have grown up without like access to phones or iPads. Like, I got my first phone when I was in 6th grade, I believe. It was a flip phone. I didn't have internet access. Like, we had a family home computer that was in our basement next to the router that like everyone shared. It was like a big Microsoft computer. And I don't know, even by the time I was in 8th and 9th grade and started babysitting, the kids that I would watch had their own little iPads or their own, like, you know, child's version of an iPad, maybe not iPad brand name from Apple, but a tablet for kids, and they were playing a lot of video games. And like, I guess those things kind of existed when I was growing up, but not, they weren't as readily available and widely accepted to be used by parents and stuff. And I'm not like critiquing anyone's parenting styles here. I'm just making an observation on how quickly technology has become the forefront of our lives. I mean, like, the only way we truly stay connected with the people around us are through our phones. And sure, you can have meaningful conversations through a phone screen, so I don't think it's all bad, but it is something that we are so entranced by, and I don't think we really understand the full effects that social media and screen time have on our brains, on our bodies, our mental health, our physical health. I mean, we can draw some general conclusions, but in the grand scheme of things, technology hasn't been a lot, or technology in this sense, like screens and social media and stuff like that, hasn't really been around for that long. So it's hard to tell what the long-term effects will be on our lives. This technology, like I said, is great, but it also can be very detrimental. It's the first thing that I grab for when I start feeling uncomfortable with my emotions and the thoughts going through my head. I have a really hard time taking a deep breath, pausing, and telling myself, hey, look, you're having these uncomfortable emotions because something needs to be dealt with. It's not time to pull out your phone and scroll through TikTok for an hour and a half and avoid that emotion to feel other emotions. Like, you know, some TikToks make you laugh, and then the next one you scroll and you have tears in your eyes because it's touching you in a way, or it's sad, or it's scary, or something, you know? I find myself laughing and crying at TikTok at least once a day, and I don't think that that's, like, the most normal or healthy way for me to be feeling and expressing and switching through a range of emotions. It's more important that I sit down and deal with what's going on in my own mind, in my own life, and that's affecting me mentally and physically. So that is probably my number one first way that I'm going to start that train of disconnecting from my thoughts and my feelings with habits and activities that just don't make me feel the best. I think there's a time and place for TikTok. I think it's great that information can be shared so rapidly and people can learn so many things they wouldn't have otherwise and find communities that they feel like they belong to. But at the same time, when you're not using it intentionally to do one of those things that I just listed or another positive aspect of TikTok you could think about, when you're using it to just disconnect and avoid tasks or avoid your feelings or avoid your partner or avoid your parents, you know, it's just not the most healthy way to cope with those feelings. And we all have to have coping mechanisms. The goal is to just have ones that serve us the best, which makes them quote unquote healthy, you know? Another way that I find myself disconnecting, especially in the evenings when Tristan gets home from school, I really do want to spend quality time with him, but I know he's had a long day. I've had a long day of staring at my screens, talking to people, posting online, chatting with people online, you know, doing all of those things, going to the gym. I just want to sit down and watch TV. And again, I think everything has a good side and a bad side. That is just the nature of life. TV can be great. It can be informative. It can be something that makes you smile when you're having a bad day. But again, I just find myself turning to it instead of genuinely connecting with myself or with Tristan or with my dog and just like engaging in my real life. Sometimes I just want to numb myself out and watch The Office and giggle. And you know, sometimes that's okay. There's a time and place for everything. But on a daily basis, it's not a great habit for me because it really does make me feel not only disconnected from myself and my routine and like how I really want to end my day, but also from Tristan. I haven't seen him all day. I want to spend that quality time, and sometimes I just don't have the energy in me to have a full-blown conversation or really get into the nitty-gritty of what our days looked like, and we just kind of want to check out and tune into the TV and disconnect from our real lives, which, again, has a time and place, but it's not every day, and I need to be a little bit more mindful of that because I can definitely tell when I do that over time, like day after day, I'm watching The Office. It's usually The Office, which is why I keep saying that. It's a habit. I just can't stop watching it. I've seen every episode like 10 or 15 times, but it's my favorite show, okay? Sue me. But anyways, I just find that when I'm turning on my TV every single night and also probably scrolling on my phone in the process, I just feel really disconnected from my body, and it leaves me feeling kind of overwhelmed before I go to bed because I didn't do the things that make me feel prepared and in the best shape for the next day. Like, preferably, I would really like to maybe watch one TV show and then read a chapter before bed, take my time washing my face, maybe take Winnie out for a short little walk if I'm feeling up for it, stretching. And obviously, I don't do all of those things every night, but like one or two of those things from the list just make me feel really centered and grounded before bed. I love to write a to-do list the night before. If I don't do those things and I watch TV until my eyes are drooping and I'm ready to fall asleep, I just don't really feel the best about myself, and it leaves me feeling more up in the air and really overwhelmed for the next day. So TV is definitely a way that I disconnect, and I'm sure whether it's TV or YouTube or whatever you choose to watch in your evening hours can make you feel kind of disconnected too if you make a strong habit of it. The next way that I disconnect might seem a little strange, or not strange, but it seems like a better or more healthy option when I'm feeling the need to disconnect, or I'm falling into patterns and habits that make me feel disconnected from myself. And this is something I'm trying to be more mindful of, because while I love a podcast and I love listening to a good podcast, sometimes I feel like I go all day, like while I'm working, and then when I take a break to make lunch or take Winnie on a walk, it's like my first instinct is to put a podcast on because I can't stand being in the silence, or I want to avoid the silence because there's obviously something I'm avoiding internally. And so while I think that the podcasts that I listen to are informative and entertaining and a positive influence on my brain, when I'm kind of overdoing it is when I need to pump the brakes. Like when I've listened to more than one or two podcasts in a day, or I'm binging a show that I've just discovered and I want to get caught up on episodes, like when I am filling every free moment of my time with a podcast, that is when the alarm bells kind of start going off. Like, hey, Natalie, you're kind of avoiding these things that you need to be doing instead, or you need to be thinking about or working through instead, and listening to the At Lexi podcast or Gals on the Go or Binge-topia, which are some of my favorites, but there's a time and a place, and it's not all day, every day, all moments of my free time, you know? So again, it's not the most unhealthy way. Like, it's definitely better than scrolling on my phone, but if I'm not letting myself just be by myself and be in the silence, be with my thoughts, it's not the best way for me to be spending my time and, you know, working through what needs to be worked through in my personal life. And the last way that I disconnect, which is probably my favorite, or maybe not favorite, but I would say is my healthiest way of disconnecting, is reading. It's a big habit that I've gotten into in the last year, something that I really enjoy doing. And I also don't find myself like using it as a way to disconnect or procrastinate. I really only read when I have the free time to do it, you know? Like, I don't have a project due or like a deadline for a brand and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna read my book instead. That typically doesn't happen, never say never, but like it's not a habit I find myself participating in often or really at all at this stage of my life. But like instead of watching TV in the evening, sometimes I just want to read my book and I tell Tristan like, hey, I just want a little bit more alone time. Maybe you could go play some Xbox or something, like whatever you feel like doing. And it's definitely a form of disconnection from my life and from my real life. But at the same time, I do think that there is such thing as like healthy disconnection. Sometimes we are so plugged into our own lives, the thought stream that is flowing through our brains constantly all day long. We're worrying about other people, we're attached to our to-do list, and sometimes it's important to disconnect. But I think that there are more healthy ways to disconnect than scrolling on our phone, on social media, or watching TV, doing something that's a little bit more productive. So a couple of my ideas for that are, one, reading, because it's a great way to kind of immerse yourself in a different storyline than your own. I have been reading some really great books lately. The most recent book that I just finished was Beautiful World, Where Are You? By Sally Rooney. It is a fantastic book. It's definitely a little bit more challenging than the books I've read in the past. I've read a lot of Colleen Hoover books recently. I also read Little Fires Everywhere. What else? I'm looking at my bookshelf right now and trying to figure out what else I've just recently read. Or like Emily Henry, Beach Read, or Malibu Rising, or Evelyn Hugo. Like, the book wasn't as exciting, but that's kind of why I loved it. Sally Rooney's writing style is a little bit more realistic. It's more personal. It really feels like you're looking into the lives of real people. There isn't a crazy plot or a storyline, but there's a lot of intricate details that just make the characters seem like very believable, real people. The only thing I will say about the book that I got a lot of feedback on Instagram about when I posted it is people were like, oh my god, I couldn't read this book, or I couldn't finish it, I had to stop, I didn't like it, because when she writes dialogue, it's not traditional punctuation in a normal book, like where the line is indented, like when somebody's talking, they get a new line and it's in quotations. I don't really think there were any quotations in the entire book. She just writes in paragraphs, which I can definitely see why it would put people off to reading the book because it's not traditional. But I personally liked it because when a book has a lot of dialogue, I feel like I skip over the paragraphs with just like descriptions of the setting or the character's outfit or whatever, and I just skip to the dialogue, like I'm almost skimming the book. This made me a lot more present while reading, and like you really have to read each word individually for the story to make sense. So I kind of enjoyed it. It was a great book and a very lighthearted ending. I'm not going to spoil anything, but Sally Rooney is a great writer. I've seen the show Normal People, which is an adaptation of her book, and I really liked it. I'll read the book eventually, but I've heard that it's like pretty much identical to the show, and I just finished the show, so I thought reading it right away would be kind of redundant. I'll probably read it later this year. And she has another book, Conversations with Friends, that my sister recommended. I'll probably read that next month or the following. I have a couple books on deck that are to be read on my bookshelf. I'm currently reading The Golden Couple. I started it last night. I'm already like over 100 pages in. It's really good, very juicy. It was part of the Book of the Month Club. I talked about that in my first episode. If you guys want to check out Book of the Month Club, I will leave my referral code down below. This isn't sponsored or paid, not for any of my social media platforms. It's something I found myself through another social media influencer, I think. I forget who, but anyone who has an account, you have a referral code, and I do believe that it saves you some money for your first month of a book subscription, but I really like it. It's a great way to find new books, especially ones that aren't super mainstream. There are a handful of mainstream books right now that I see everyone and their mother posting about online, and I've read a lot of them, and they're good for a reason. Like, people are posting about them for a good reason. They're great books, but I've been trying to read a little bit off the beaten path and kind of have my own reading experience and not read for the sake of like posting online about the same book that everyone else is posting about, you know? I think it's great that reading's becoming a trend and like people are reading because it's a great thing to do for your brain, but at the same time, I'm trying to keep my experience a little bit separate from other people because it's so easy to fall into trends online and do and say and wear and act just like everyone else. So I'm trying to be a little bit unique, you know, or just have my own experience rather. But point being, I think reading is actually a great way to disconnect when you're feeling like you need to take a breather from everything that's happening in your life presently. Reading is a great way to pass the time. Not only does it help improve your vocabulary, but you get to be immersed in a different experience than you're having. You get to put yourself in the character's shoes. You get to interpret the writer's point of view, and I just really like reading. It's something that I've enjoyed a lot. And I also have a video on my YouTube that I posted right at the end of 2021 of all my best books from last year, books that I really enjoyed reading. So if you guys need some book recommendations, feel free to check that out. There are quite a few over there. I also share what book I'm reading currently on Instagram like once a week and give my thoughts once I finish the book. So check those out as well. I will update my book highlight, so all the books on there are a little bit more current to what I've been reading recently if you're looking for some suggestions. But long story short, reading is a great way to disconnect. I highly recommend picking up a book. I promise there is a genre out there for everyone, and anyone who wants to try reading, it might take a little bit of time. You might want to start with those trendy books that you're seeing everyone post at the moment, because like we said, they're good for a reason. People are sharing them for a reason. Anyways, on to my next more quote-unquote healthy way to disconnect, and I'm sure this will not come as a surprise to any single one of you if you follow me on any social media, but get outside. If you can go for a hike, go for a hike. It is Friday when I'm recording this, and tomorrow it's supposed to be like 50 degrees here in Colorado, and Tristan just texted me this morning and asked me if I wanted to go on a hike tomorrow. So I am so freaking pumped to get outside. We haven't really hiked much like in the last month, so I'm super excited to get out there. It might be a little bit muddy because it snowed and now it's warming up, so obviously it's melting. But nonetheless, me, Tristan, and Winnie are going hiking tomorrow, and I'm so excited. That's one of my favorite ways to spend my free time during the day, especially on a warmer weather day. But if you can't hike, still try to get outside and go for a little walk around your neighborhood. You can go to your favorite outdoor shopping mall and do a little bit of window shopping. Any way that you can get outside and get some fresh air and move your body, I think, is a great way to disconnect. And with that, I personally try at least once a week to get outside and go for a walk without any headphones in, like without listening to any music or a podcast. Personally, I don't really like to go for a walk and listen to music. I really only listen to music at the gym and then podcasts while I'm walking or doing stuff around the house or driving. But if you're going to try to make a habit of this, get outside and get some fresh air as a healthy way to disconnect from your to-do list and all the things running through your mind, try to just go outside and go for a walk and listen to the sounds around you. You might be walking near a busy street, listening to the cars. You might be walking in the forest or in the woods on a trail, and you can listen to all the little birds and the leaves and the twigs snapping beneath your feet. And, you know, just listen to the sounds of the world. And I'm not shaming anyone who wants to listen to a little bit of music or their favorite podcast. I think that's great, but try to make an effort every once in a while or like once a week to get outside, go for a walk without listening to anything. Just focus on the walk, you know? My last thought or idea for a more ideal way to disconnect from all of the madness in our minds and in our lives is to do something with your hands. My two specific examples are cooking or baking and finding a puzzle and doing a puzzle by yourself or with your partner, with your best friend, with your roommate, with your parents, whoever is around and available and wants to join in on the fun. I love a good puzzle. It's a really great way for me to kind of sit with those thoughts that I've been avoiding while actively doing something with my hands. It really keeps me off my phone, which is key, and it's also a great way for me to just kind of slow down, because I find when I haven't done a puzzle for a while and I sit down to do it, I want to rush through it and get it done as quickly as possible, probably because I'm valuing my productivity a little bit too much, even though that's a word and an idea or concept that I like hate and despise. Anyways, I find that I get really overwhelmed because I'm like, oh, I'm not moving through this puzzle fast enough. The pieces aren't coming together fast enough. I'm having a hard time finding this one piece that I want to go here. Like, it really makes me sit with those feelings of frustration because I'm putting too much pressure on myself. So grab a puzzle and sit down and just take some deep breaths. Think about things that make you feel calm and peaceful while you try to put this little puzzle together. If you're doing it with someone else, it's a great time to strike up a little bit of conversation and check in with the other person, see how they're doing, share your thoughts on what's going on in the world and in your lives. And to that, you can kind of do the same thing with baking. It's a great way for you to focus on one task because you have to focus on the recipe. Make sure you're following it. Make sure you're measuring everything out exactly right so that the recipe comes out in the proper way. And it's just a great way to use your hands, get off your phone screen. Well, you might be using your phone screen because you're looking at a recipe, but you're not, you know, scrolling on TikTok while you're doing it. And sometimes when I'm alone cooking or doing a puzzle and I don't want to sit in the silence, as long as I'm checking in with myself and being intentional that I'm not listening to it to avoid something, it's a great time to listen to a podcast, you know? So those are my thoughts on like some more ideal or quote unquote healthy ways to disconnect when you're feeling overwhelmed. One thing I'd like to make a note of before I talk about some other ways that I like to kind of reconnect with myself and plug back in to my mind and my body, it's really important that you start to become more aware of your patterns and habits of disconnecting. What are things that trigger you to disconnect? What are some of the patterns you fall into when you want to disconnect? Like, what are your coping mechanisms? Do you grab for your phone? Do you lock yourself in your room and only watch YouTube videos for a few days? Like, what are your patterns and habits? And like I said before, the only way to make a change is to become aware of those things. And the first step is just taking note of your patterns. what about work, or what about your relationship, or what about your daily self-care or your daily self-talk causes you to feel disconnected from yourself, and then you continue to take those steps to move farther and farther away from your center. I hope that this episode kind of highlights some of the things that I experienced so that you can maybe reflect and see how you do them or something similar in your own life to disconnect, because the whole point is not to never disconnect with yourself again. I think it's inevitable that we will fall into those ebbs and flows in our lives, but the sooner you can catch it, the less you will stray from your center. And I think that that's been a big theme for me this week, is like reflecting on those patterns and habits I've been falling into the last few weeks that just make me feel very overwhelmed, depressed, anxious. I've been able to reflect and see what I've been doing, and now I am talking to myself in a nicer way. I'm taking different steps in the morning so that I don't fall into things that make me feel groggy or cloudy and foggy in my mind and disconnected from my to-do list, from my will to, you know, move through my day and feel fulfilled by the end. So just maybe take a moment, pause this episode if you can, if you're not driving or walking. Grab a piece of paper, or you can do this when the episode's over, when you have the piece of paper and pen in front of you, and make a list of like 4 to 5 things that make you feel disconnected. Or if you don't know off the top of your head, like if it's not a clear thing to you, maybe write down a few things you think might make you disconnected. Is it when you have a frustrating morning at work, or if you have a not so positive interaction with your partner, or if you step on the scale first thing in the morning? You know, just things like that. Try to hypothesize what you think they might be, and then keep a running list throughout this next week of when you feel disconnected and kind of when you started feeling disconnected, like what triggered it, because that's the first step in making any sort of change, as I've said multiple times now. Just being aware of your habits. It's not something that you should really be judging yourself for. If you want to make a difference and you want to make a change, it's got to come from a place of love, and you should love yourself enough to take care of yourself and take the time to find things that make you feel connected and make you feel your best, you know? So yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there before I talk about these next things and then answer your questions, because being aware of your habits and the way that you behave and you treat yourself, your thought patterns, all of those things, it's really important. Like at the end of the day, you have to go to bed with yourself. It's not about making anyone else happy. Your life should be about you, and that's not in a selfish way, but like if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not checking in with yourself, you're not connecting with yourself, how can you expect to do it with other people? How can you expect to take care of other people? Sure, you can try, but it's probably not going to be the best of your ability because you're feeling disconnected and distant from yourself. And if you want to have true, meaningful connections with others, you don't have to be perfect and fully connected to yourself right now, today, but it's a good thing to be working towards and moving towards, because you're also going to attract people into your life who are doing the same for themselves, and you can build healthy, positive relationships with them. So those are my thoughts there. And to wrap up this little chat on connection and disconnection, I want to talk about a couple of my favorite ways to reconnect and plug in with myself. Those examples that I gave earlier about like going for a hike, reading, cooking, doing something with your hands, those are just like, if you're feeling the need to disconnect, that's how I would go about it in a more positive way. But the couple things I'm going to share are kind of how I reconnect with myself, recenter myself when I'm feeling that I've strayed away from my center and I want to get refocused, recentered, and reconnected with myself. First things first, movement. My go-to is usually yoga, because it's a great way to sync your movements with your breath. I just feel so relaxed and in like a deep meditative state when I do yoga. And when I do yoga at home, I would say I do 80 to 90% of it with my eyes closed, because it's really a way for me to plug back into myself, into my brain, into my body, into my breath, and feel connected as one whole being. Because a lot of the times when you feel overwhelmed by your to-do list or you're at the gym or whatever, I think those things tend to become disconnected. Your mind isn't always connected to your body when you're doing your work throughout the day, or to your breath. Yoga is my favorite way to bring all three of those things back together in one space, focus on them all, feel them all working together, because we are one big connected being. Our bodies should work in that way. And so it's a really, really great way for me to move back to that. Also, to that point, it's a great thing to incorporate on a daily basis to keep you from feeling disconnected in the first place. But you know, sometimes you just don't feel like it, and it's not something that you really want to talk yourself into. So you let it slide for a day or 2 days, which turns into a week, and then 2 weeks, and a month, and sooner or later, it's going to be 6 months later, and you haven't rolled your mat out and followed Yoga with Adrienne on YouTube. And I'm talking to myself here because this is literally what happened to me right before we moved, and I haven't gotten back into a regular yoga practice until like last month. So it was like 6 or 7 months that I was just kind of avoiding it, and there were other things going on in my life. Like, I don't think it was all bad. I wasn't avoiding it for one specific reason, but multiple excuses I've made over time just took me away from that practice. But since doing it regularly again, I feel so much more connected to my body. I'm quicker to feel myself becoming disconnected from my present environment in my body. So yoga, yoga, yoga. I can't say it enough. Also, something that I'm wanting to try, I think I'm going to start this weekend. Yesterday was a rest day and I did yoga, and today I'm going to lift. So maybe I'll do it tomorrow. We'll do a hike and then I'll try something in the evening. But I really want to start doing like 10 to 20 minute Pilates sessions on YouTube, like just following a video along a couple times a week, because it's something that I've never really done before besides a couple classes. I know Gymshark did one with us at the Whitney event, and I can't remember what else, but I know I've done it one other time, and it is so freaking challenging. It seems like it would be the easiest thing in the world because you're doing like the most tiny, minuscule movements, but they burn so deep in your body that it, like, in the moment it hurts. But it's similar to yoga. It's a really great way to focus your mind, body, and breath all on one singular thing. So I'm going to challenge myself to do that this week. Maybe you guys can join me. If you do, tag me on Instagram. I'm going to share if, when, and what I follow when we get there, but stay tuned for that. I'll share on Instagram as I dive into the world of Pilates, because I think it would just be a really fun way to challenge myself and move my body outside of the gym, and something a little bit different than yoga, but still kind of similar. So finding some sort of movement to bring you back into your body, and specifically mind, body, breath, all working as one, is such a therapeutic thing that you can do for yourself. And it doesn't have to be perfect. Adrienne on YouTube is my absolute favorite. She has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos. Like, if you want to try yoga, she's got a video for you. She's so positive. She makes anyone from beginner to advanced feel welcome in her class. And I just love her so much. I could sit here and rave about her for an entire episode, but take my word for it. Check her out on YouTube. Follow a Yoga with Adrienne video today, tomorrow, sometime this week. That is your homework from me from this episode. So report back once you do. Tag me on Instagram. I love setting up my phone and doing a time lapse while I do my yoga. It's so fun to watch back, and I love sharing them online. So I challenge you to do that this week. But another way that I like to reconnect, plug back into myself, is journaling. Just talking to myself judgment-free about what's going on, why I feel disconnected. It's a great way to kind of come back to the root of the disconnection, or discover what the root of the disconnection is for you, and be a little bit insightful about your life and how the way that you behave and your patterns and your habits affect you and get you to where you are in that moment feeling disconnected from yourself. Truthfully, I think there's nothing that journaling really can't solve on the surface level when you're feeling a little bit down in the dumps. Obviously, there are some things it can't solve that are more serious mental health issues, but if you're just feeling kind of out of it, not really sure what to do or how to go about it, just start writing. Talk to yourself about it. Judgment-free. Nobody else is reading it. You don't have to turn it into your mom or your dad or give it to your boyfriend to read. This is your private space to chat with yourself, be honest, and explore what possibly could be going on with you and how you got there, and make a game plan on how you want to move away from it, even if it's one small step, like going outside, sitting on the patio, and getting some fresh air. Just chat with yourself. My last thought about how to reconnect with yourself and reconnect with your world is chatting with someone. It doesn't necessarily have to be about what you're experiencing, but getting yourself out of your own head and having a conversation with someone else can be so therapeutic. Again, doesn't have to be about what you're dealing with. If you don't feel comfortable talking to the person that you're talking to about what you're dealing with, you don't have to talk about it. A therapist is a great option, but just talking to your boyfriend about how his day was and maybe making a fun plan for the two of you to go do something, like go for a walk, go for a hike, go grab a smoothie from your favorite place, or a coffee, or I don't know, just making some sort of conversation with another person can really help get you out of your own head and share an experience with someone else. So that's just kind of what I wanted to chat with you guys about. Those are my reflections from this week. I've really been focusing on connecting with myself again and reflecting on all the things that brought me to feeling super disconnected from myself. And I think I said connected and disconnected like 700 times in this episode. I can't wait to listen to it back as I edit it and cringe every time I say it. I'm sorry if you're cringing every time I say it. But we're working on expanding our vocabulary, okay? It's hard when you want to make an episode about a specific topic. I feel like you reiterate the topic many, many, many times, but that's just the nature of it, I guess. But now I'm going to answer a couple of your questions on Instagram. So let me pull that up. Okay, first question is from Hannah, and she asks, how do you find happiness and joy in your everyday life? I'm stuck in a rut. Well, first of all, I hope you're listening to this episode because I just gave you a ton of fabulous ideas that you can use to get a little bit more reconnected with yourself. But I did want to answer this question because I think that the idea of happiness is kind of a scam, because just like any other feeling, sadness, joy, anger, frustration, it will come and it will go. It's not a constant state that we can achieve. I think it's kind of a moment that you have, or a collection of moments. Nobody is happy all the time, you know? It might seem that way online, but I promise you that there are many moments that the person is not recording or capturing and sharing online where they're not happy. And it's okay. I think that's the first biggest, most important answer to this question, is happiness is a moment or collection of moments. It's not a state of being. It's not something that you can be in for a prolonged period of time, in my experience or in my opinion. But finding a place where you can be at peace, I think, is a more realistic and ideal state of being than happiness, or at least just like a mindset to have. Like, I would rather feel peaceful and at peace with my decisions, with the trajectory of my life, than I would want to feel happy all the time. So yeah, I don't really have too many thoughts on that besides I don't think happiness is something that you can have all the time. And I hope that you listen to this episode and then take at least one piece of my advice and try to apply it to your life this week. And I hope it makes you feel even 1% better. Next question asks, I want to get off my birth control. What natural methods are you utilizing? So I'm not off my birth control yet. I'm going on the 25th of February to get it taken out, and I'm going to document the whole process and then some on YouTube. I'm sure I'll talk about it on here every once in a while, or like just little updates week by week of what I'm experiencing. But my plan for the time being, obviously using additional protection when I am being sexually active, but I have downloaded the app Natural Cycles, and I just got my thermometer in the mail a couple days ago. I can't start really using it. It won't be accurate until after I get my birth control taken out, but it's a way to naturally track your cycle based on your basal temperature, which is different than taking your regular temperature, I guess. But you take your temperature with the thermometer, you input it into the app, and over time it becomes more accurate at tracking your cycles to show when you're ovulating, when you're fertile, all the good things. I'm also reading, or listening rather, to the book Beyond the Pill, and it's very fascinating. I'm learning a lot of things. So I've just placed an order for a couple supplements to help support my hormones as I transition off. But to fully answer that question, you'll have to stay tuned and watch my YouTube videos, because I'm just going to be showing you kind of in real time what I'm going through. I don't have any solid answers at the moment, because truthfully, I'm really optimistic about this experience, but my plan might not work out the way that I want. The natural tracking might not work, and I might have to go back on birth control. So I'm trying to stay open to all possibilities, but optimistic that a natural form of tracking my cycles and not being on synthetic birth control hormones is going to work for me. So yeah. Okay, last question is from Marissa, and she asks, how to get into meditation and yoga when anxiety consumes a quiet mind? Well, honestly, that's kind of the point, and it's not to like sit down and make you feel more overwhelmed, but you're supposed to sit down and be with those thoughts and let them come and go. And the biggest thing that I learned from meditation is like those everything, just like feelings, thoughts come and go, and you don't have to grab onto them. I literally think about my thoughts like cars driving by on a road, and I just kind of watch them come into the frame and out of the frame, and I don't reach out and grab and pluck one of the cars off the road and expand on them for too long. I don't try to pick my thoughts out and expand on them and spiral, just sitting with them, being with them. But if you have a hard time with that, guided meditations are great. The Insight Timer app is free. They have so many fabulous guided meditations. And with yoga, I mean, any type of yoga, I don't think you're doing in complete silence because you're probably listening to an instructor, whether it's an online recording or you're in person. But putting some music on in the background, if the quiet between them talking and giving instructions is really overwhelming for you, start slow. Don't overwhelm yourself. Don't tell yourself you're going to sit down and meditate for 10, 20 minutes a day. Start for 1 minute. This week, do 1 minute of meditation every morning. Next week, do two. Work your way up 3, 4, 5, 6, respectively, as the weeks go on. And you got to start small and make it a doable habit for yourself. If you set your sights too high and you want to meditate in complete silence for 10 minutes every morning, chances are after day 3 you're going to give it up because you hate it so much. So start slow, and if you really can't sit in complete silence, use some sort of guided meditation. You could also go for a walk. Not all meditation has to be like legs crossed sitting on the floor. You can go for a walking meditation. Yoga is another form of a movement meditation. Just go for a walk without earbuds in. Listen to the sounds around you. Be mindful about the way your feet are hitting the ground and how your breath is feeling 10, 12, 15 minutes into the walk. It's probably a little bit faster paced than when you started. Just notice little things about yourself, about your environment, and you're on the right track to becoming more mindful. Meditation isn't the end all be all of mindfulness. You can just be mindful in your daily life, and that will also help ease your anxiety. But I think if you've never meditated before and you're having a really hard time getting into it, guided meditations that make you feel confident and that seem doable to you, whether they're 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, as opposed to 20, 30 minute meditations, I wouldn't start there. I'd start small and work your way up. Okay, guys, that is it for today's episode. Thank you, queens, so much for tuning in. I've been having so much fun with all this podcasting, and I think I'm getting better and better at it every week. So that is a huge boost in my confidence, and I've really just been enjoying hearing your feedback, chatting with you guys about the topics that I bring up in these episodes, and I'm excited for next week's episode. We're getting into the warmer spring weather here, slowly but surely. I say that as there's like 4 or 5 inches of snow on the ground here, but I believe that spring is coming, and that might just be what next week's episode is all about. So you'll have to stay tuned to see. If you enjoyed this, don't forget to give it a rating and a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening, and I will